Genesis 22. And it came to pass, verse 1, after these things, somebody say these things, that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. When he said tempt, what that means, he tried or he tested Abraham. Verse 2, and he said, Take now thy son, thy only son, whom thou lovest. Notice these words, your only son, who you love. And get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering. If you break down that word offering, it means sacrifice. So offer him there for a burnt sacrifice upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Somebody say worship. And come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they both went together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. He said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My God will provide. That'll preach by itself. My son, God will provide himself. That'll preach all by himself, by itself as well. My God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Two more verses. Verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. He offered him as a burnt sacrifice. Remember that word offering can be sacrifice. And Abraham called the name of that place, say it with me, Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, it's still called that, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Amen. I want to talk to you on this thought. Preach this morning. After these things. After these things. Would you lift your voices to the Lord? Would you pray for pastor? Would you pray for one another? Come on. We're all good at listening and hearing. Some of us better than others. But we don't want to just be a hearer. We want to be a doer. We want the word of the Lord to fall on good ground. Our hearts are... The soil is our heart. Would you lift your voices? Come on. He turned out of the road. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Help us be doers, God. Help us not to look in the mirror, God, and pretend that you're speaking to someone else, God. Help us to be transparent. Help us to be real, God. If it hurts, if it cuts, God, we pray, God, that we would be women and men enough, God, to receive it, God. Help me, God, to present with love and anointing today, oh God. Lord, let there be unity, oh God, this morning. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you thanks, oh God, for you're worthy. In Jesus' name, we glorify his name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Somebody say, after these things, God bless you. You can be seated. It's such a powerful Bible scripture, the story of Abraham. I reminded in the scripture, Genesis 22 and 1, our scripture text where I'm taking my title from. Genesis 22 and 1 says, And it came to pass after these things that God did try Abraham. God called Abraham and said, Behold, or Abraham said, here am I. And if you read in the scripture, I'm going to help those here this morning kind of build a foundation. After what things? After what things? In fact, we read in Genesis 15 that same vernacular, after these things. And then the Lord ministers or talks or asks Abraham to do something. After what things, Pastor? What is it that you're referring to? It's after Sodom and Gomorrah's fate. You know, in the scripture about God He punished Sodom and Gomorrah. And it was after the fate of Sodom and Gomorrah. It was after Lot's wife was Abraham's nephew. But Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt because she looked back. It was after the birth of Ishmael, which was Abraham's son with his concubine or Sarah's servant, Hagar. It was after that. It was after the renewing of the covenant with Abraham in Genesis 17, where the Lord talked to Abraham and renewed the covenant. It was after these things. It was after the fulfillment of the promise and the fulfillment of the word of God, according to what God had said. We know the scripture says that Sarah had a child at the appointed time, at the time that God said it would happen, that it happened. It was after the time of waiting for a promised son. We know that Isaac was the promised son. The scripture tells us that. The scripture is very clear about that. Ishmael was blessed too, but the seed, the lineage, the inheritance, the blessing, the prophetic came through Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, which is Israel. It was after these things, after Isaac was born, after they finally had their own child. It was after the separation, notice this, of the lingering issue, but the forgiven sin of Abraham and Sarah. You see, they had tried to take matters into their own hand with having a son with Hagar, which was not Abraham's wife, but it was Sarah's servant, it was permission and it was okay during that time, but the son was not the promised son. It was not a son from Abraham and Sarah, but it was Abraham and Hagar. In fact, they tried to do things their own way. God forgave them, but there was the lingering issue which drove the separation of the father and his child. We know the scripture tells us in Genesis 21 and 11 that the separation between Abraham and Ishmael, the scripture says it was very grievous. It was something that it grieved Abraham. Sarah was unhappy because Ishmael began to mock. In fact, I'm just going to give a little Bible study here for a moment. You see in the scripture that at this time, Ishmael was approximately 14 years old. I prove that to you in the scripture because when Abraham, I want to say it was around Genesis chapter 17, Abraham was circumcised and Ishmael was circumcised and Ishmael was 13 years old. And we know it takes 9 months for there to be a baby. And Isaac was born and there was some mocking that was taking place and it caused some drama in the family. Yeah. You don't have to go watch some novellas or buy a book to see some drama. There's some drama right here in this story. Just read your Bible. Genesis 12 to 22. Read it. There's a lot of stuff right there. There's a lot of prophecy, prophetic. But it was after these things. In fact, notice something in the scripture. You do not see where the scripture tells us that Abraham loved Ishmael. It doesn't say those words. But in our scripture setting, it says, even the Lord said, take your only son, Isaac, the one you love. He doesn't say that about Ishmael in this scripture setting. But the separation between Abraham and Ishmael was grievous. It was a separation situation that he would, but it was after this thing. It was tough. It wasn't easy what the Lord was asking Abraham to do, but Abraham was faithful. Somebody turn to your neighbor and tell him, Abraham was faithful. But notice this, he wasn't just faithful. Abraham was obedient and he trusted God. You see, Abraham was a prophet. Some of us don't know that, but the scripture is very clear about that. In Genesis 20 and 7, the Lord says Abraham is a prophet. Tells us that specifically. The scripture brags about the faithfulness and the righteousness of Abraham. In fact, Romans 4 and 20 and 22 says, and he staggered not at the promises or the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. But notice this, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. So it was after these things, after the separation, after the family drama, after he was circumcised, after Isaac was born, after the stuff that took place in Sodom and Gomorrah, there was after these things, there was the covenant between Abraham and Abimelech, the peace between the families and generations. It was after the planting of the groves by Abraham in Genesis 21, that there was a place where Abraham prayed. He planted groves. He planted a orchard, and he went there and he prayed. Abraham was a man of prayer. He didn't become obedient and faithful because he wasn't a man of prayer. It was because he was a man of prayer. He was a person of prayer that he built altars and offered up offerings or sacrifice unto the Lord. It was after he sojourned, as the scripture says in Genesis 20, 21, and about 31, it says that he sojourned in the land of the Philistines. It was these things that Abraham hears from God. And God tells him to take his only son, the son that he loved, the son that was the promised child, the son that was going to be the heir of the inheritance, the son that the scripture says that all nations would be blessed and will call you blessed. Take your son. We take your son and go to the land of Moriah and offer Isaac as a sacrifice on one of the mountains which I will tell of thee. So Abraham gets up and he takes off. We don't read in the scripture of Abraham telling Sarah what he was going to do. Because if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. She finally got her son. In fact, Sarah's the reason why Ishmael and Abraham separated. It's because Sarah said, he's mocking and I don't like it. And she even says that that lady and her son, they're not going to be the inheritance of my blessing. They got to go. So he didn't tell mama, we're going to go to the mountain. I'm taking our son. You've waited all these 90 years to have a son, and I'm going to take him up to the mount where the Lord said to go and to do this. She probably wouldn't have liked that very much. And it was a 3-day journey, the scripture tells us, where the Lord told him to go. And I wonder if all along the journey, if Abraham made the statement, after all of this, I've waited all this time to get my own son with Sarah. I'm an old dude. I'm 100 years old. Mama's 90 years old. After all of this, you're asking me to take my son and go to the Mount of Moriah in a 3-day journey. You're not even telling me which one to go to. You're just telling me to get there and to go. And I'm not telling mama I'm going, but I'm taking my son. Do you want me to take him and offer him as a burnt offering or as a sacrifice unto you? After all that I've been through, after I've separated from my nephew Lot, I'm separated from my son Ishmael. I've had peace. I've had trouble. I've had favor. I've built altars. I've built orchards. I've prayed. You're calling me faithful. You're calling me obedient. And after all this, you want more from me? My goodness, how much can a person take? Can I preach to somebody? Some of you feel that way this morning. I've given in the offering. I've given up my time. I've given up my talent. I'm tired. I'm weary, I'm broke, I'm busted, I'm disgusted. I don't know what else to do. And after all this, Lord, there's more. I got to get the Holy Ghost. I got to get baptized. You mean I got to serve in the church? You don't got to do anything if you don't want to get to heaven, because doing nothing won't get you to heaven. But if you're going to get to heaven, it's going to take some work. It's going to take some perseverance. It's going to take some faithfulness and some obedience. You won't always agree with the word of God, and it may be hard going down, but baby, it will keep you safe. It will keep you saved. Now, we're blessed here this morning. There's a medical doctor, and there's several nurses here this morning, and they do a wonderful job, and I commend them, and I appreciate that we have godly Christian people in our congregation that not only see it as a career, but as a ministry. But as much respect and love I have for those in a medical profession, I don't like medicine. Medicine don't taste good. Antibiotics, Brother Angel, don't taste good. But guess what? When that guy writes something on a piece of paper that you can't read, and then you take it to somebody that's going to look at it, and he obviously can read it. They got some secret language, and he makes something and gives you the bill, and you pay for it, and you do everything it says on the bottle, and you're going to feel better. Guess what? You do it. Same thing with the word of the Lord. You don't like the delivery. You may not like the man. You may not like this. You may not like the message. But if we do what the word of God says, you're going to be all right. You're going to make it to heaven. After all these things, we still got to be saved. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But after all that Abraham had been through, the Lord asked him, you want me to take my beloved son? I mean, Lord, you said it with your own words. Take your only son. The one that you love. And go offer him as a sacrifice. I wonder, notice this. Walk with me down this journey. I wonder if during the 3-day journey of Abraham to Mount Moriah, I wonder if he pondered quitting or turning back. It's 3 days. Brother Perez, you've traveled places. You start going somewhere and sometimes you wonder, 3 more hours on the road. I'm turning back, man. I'd stop and have lunch and just go back home. But 3 days journey walking with donkeys and two servants and your son, knowing what you're going to do, knowing what God has asked you to do. You start to wonder out in the desert walking up because you're going through the valley to get to the mountain and wondering, did I have some bad lamb? You know, was it just the spice or something wrong? The bad menudo? You know, what was it? Food poisoning or something? You know, getting delirious, not enough water or something after all this. But we don't read that in the scripture. What we do read was Abraham was faithful and reverent of the Lord. We do read that Abraham going and taking everything he needed for the sacrifice, you know, cause humanity would be like, oh, we're going. Oh, let's leave the wood at home. Cause we could go back and maybe the Lord will change his mind or maybe I figure out that, you know, I was dehydrated and I heard something wrong. But Abraham took everything that he needed. He took the wood, the scripture says. He took the knife. The location was to be determined. And he had the sacrifice, which was his son. You don't notice this in the scripture. In Genesis 22 and 6, the scripture says that Abraham had the supplies for the sacrifice of the offering. And he has his son there. You know, the thing that's interesting, if you read that scripture, Genesis 22 and 6, he gives Brother Breon the wood to his son. Can you imagine this boy, this lad, carrying this wood, Mr. Coronado, with his father. We're going to go sacrifice. And I'm holding in my hands the wood that a few verses later is going to be on top of me because I'm the sacrifice. Think about that. Some of you are walking around carrying stuff and you see it as, wow, this burden is heavy. You know, so a lot of times maybe you're carrying it because God's trying to try you and trying to test you and say, are you going to lay it down? Do you trust me? Do you obey me? You could talk the talk. You talk a good game, right? You know people, they talk a good game. In fact, when you see them, you're like, hey, they're coming. They're all talk. Just deal with it. Just smile. Right? Just kind of. But you're walking around feeling the same thing. Like, I'm walking around carrying this. I'm responsible for somebody now, and this is my lot in life, but it's a sacrifice. See, you're walking, and so they're going, they're getting to the place, they have everything they need, and I wonder if Abraham's just kind of wondering, because his son doesn't know what's going on, and he gives him the wood, and that would rip a father's heart out to know that I'm giving you the wood, and you're carrying it. And that same wood is what's going to be used to offer a sacrifice. You see, what's so powerful about the testimony of Abraham is that he believed and trusted God enough to do anything. Even when it didn't make sense. Because this doesn't make any sense from a biblical perspective, from a society perspective. Just does not make any sense. It sounds crazy. It took him 3 days to get there. It was going to cost him his only son or cost him the blessing of God from what the Lord evidently was saying I was going to do through your son. And I know that we all struggle with our faith at times. And we have what I like to call a faith crisis. You see, it's easy to believe God for a healing for someone else's mom when they're in the hospital. But when it's your mom in the hospital and she's gasping for breath and it's a little bit difficult to trust the Lord. When you got the bills that are coming and you lost your job and you got a pink slip and the unemployment check hasn't come, it's easy to look to everyone else and say, I believe God for a miracle. But when you don't have anything to give, not I'm talking about the offer, you don't have anything to give at all. You're just living off of the benevolence of somebody else. It's easy. You say, after all these things, God, I got to go through this, almost making the statement yourself. What next? After all this? See, it's easy to trust God to bring someone else out of a trial that they're encountering. You know, when they're facing a crisis in their home. The trust level for you is real high when someone else is having a bad day. Come on, somebody. You got all the answers. Oh, yeah, all the Bible verses. You make videos and send it to them. You got all this. Oh, you need to go to this website. You need to go here because of the times. And Brother Stone King and Pastor Panero preached this, and you weren't there. You should have heard it. Now that's why you're in the problem you're in. You got faith for that, but when the rain comes on you, do you think the rain comes to drown you? No, the rain comes to ensure there's growth. You got to have water, baby, in order to live. You got to have water for plants to grow. In order to thrive, you got to have water. And sometimes the rain comes in a storm. Believe that. And you don't get the rainbow unless there's rain. Come on, somebody. After all the things you go through, still be faithful. Still be obedient. Still trust the Lord. He won't leave you. He won't forsake you. He's still able to do anything. See, it's a different story when it's you. In fact, in those times, you may find yourself mumbling. After these things pass, I'll get my grip again. I just need the dust to settle. Well, Abraham didn't have time for the dust to settle. I'll just wait, you know, see if they call me. Well, Abraham didn't have that. He had to be faithful and obedient. Abraham, you know, didn't make the statements, well, maybe it was somebody else. Or, you know, after these things pass away, I'll give like I've never given before. After the loved one is better, I'll learn to love again. I'll follow holiness after I just have one more weekend of fun. I'll get baptized around Easter time. Well, man, if you know you're going to be around Easter time, wow, tell me the secret, because I don't even know if I'll be here tonight to preach, because I live breath by breath, baby. I'll wait till Thanksgiving time to make things right. I'll worship and get out of my comfort zone at missions conference. Nah. You see, in Ecclesiastes 10 and 12, the scripture says, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. Don't be a fool. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? I can tell you enough from the scripture that Abraham was no fool, but he was a man of obedience, a man of faithfulness, and a man of reverence. Notice this, Genesis 22 and 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. It was 3 days. That's the remarkable faith and courage and obedience and reverence of a man that showed unwavering trust in a holy God. He knew enough that 3 days of traveling is up to the mountain and taking his sons with him. And he gets there and he sees in view of a place of sacrifice to take place. Notice this. But it's the next set of verses where I'm going to preach from here this morning. I want you to capture this and get this. Genesis 22 and 5. And Abraham said to the young men, abide here. Stay here with the donkey. And I and the lad and my son and I will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Abraham doesn't mention anything about a sacrifice. Abraham didn't say, well, we're going to go sacrifice and I'm going to come back down. He said, stay here with the donkey. My son and I are going to go up and worship and we're going to come back again. You see what Abraham, notice this, Abraham didn't call it sacrifice. He called it worship. So you're all proud. Oh, I'm giving God a sacrifice of praise. Yeah, this doesn't make sense. And Abraham says, we're going to go worship. Think about that. Tweet that. That's what we call real talk. Oh, we cry. Pastor does too. I'm sacrificing. I'm laboring. What Abraham's doing, Sister Thompson, this is real sacrifice. But Abraham didn't see it that way. He calls it worship. You're telling me to take my son, my only son that I love, and go 3 days in the valley to get to a mountain that you're eventually going to tell me where to go. And obviously, we can't take the donkeys up there or these two men with us. My son's got to carry some of the supplies. I got to carry some of the supplies. I see it. And then we got to climb up there. And to me, that's a sacrifice and that's crazy. But Abraham says, nah, it's worship. It's what I do. Abraham calls it worship. We better be careful what we call sacrifice. We better be careful with our proud attitude, our proud look, our proud statements, because we're going to be measured and judged by a God who's going to say, Abraham called it worship. You're crying and complaining about it. After all these things, Abraham still was obedient, reverence, and he called what God asked him to do as worship. It was worship. He saw it as worship. What a revelation. You know what a sacrifice is? The surrender or destruction of something prized or desirable for the sake of something considered as having a higher or more pressing claim. Sacrifice means to surrender or give up. This, in pastor's opinion, was sacrifice. But my goodness, when you read it from the perspective of how God and Abraham sees it, they saw it as worship. That ought to convict us anytime we do whatever we do and we say, well, it's my time, it's my money, it's my treasure, it's whatever it is, it's my car, it's my house, it's my company, it's my kids, it's my ministry. No, it's called worship. It's what God wants. And the scripture says he inhabits praise and worship. After all we go through, when we get into the house of God, it may be a sacrifice to lift up your hands just a little bit. It may be a sacrifice to clap your hands. It may be a sacrifice to sit there because you're in pain. Guess what? That's a form of worship. And you lift your voice and you give God the best worship that you can give him, no matter what. On the job, you give him worship. Well, the boss this and the boss that, and I'm losing this. Hey, seek ye first. It's worship. It's worship. It's worship. After all of this, if this really convicted your pastor, if Abraham can be asked to do this and he did it, because I got to tell you, I'll be honest, 3 days, you know, you contemplate a lot in 3 days. Yeah. Some of us contemplate a lot between Sunday morning and Sunday night, let alone 3 days. How much more us in 2018 with the comforts of life should we be doing? How much more should we be doing? You see, he told these two young men to stay here. You got to stay here because what Isaac and I are about to do is called worship. You know, I wonder if this is just pastor. You know, if I put these other two men, young men in the story, because Abraham was a wealthy man. He was blessed by God. He was a wealthy man. It would have made sense, based off the scripture of the tradition of Abraham, that those two other men would have carried the supplies. You get up there, you take everything up there, Isaac and I will be up there, and we'll handle business. See, but not everybody is meant to see the blessings of God through your trials and testing, because it's for you. You see what Abraham and Isaac were going to go through? It wasn't meant for everyone to see. Not everyone's going to be able to appreciate the climb up the mountain like you're going to appreciate the climb up the mountain when you get there and there's the blessing. Not everybody's going to appreciate the trial and the testing that you're going through right now. Not everybody can appreciate $500, because some of us spend $500 like it's 20 cents. But when you got no money and somebody blesses you, when you're sick and you have no medicine and the doctor said it don't look good and you call for the elders and they come and pray for you and you're healed, it changes the perspective of when you call upon the name of the Lord. Come on, somebody. After all you've been through, we got to give God worship. After all we've been through, we got to give God praise. Some of you could have lost what you had last year, but look, you're still here. You're worshiping. You're thriving. You're growing. You thought that was it. Something should have killed you. You could have taken one. It was prescription medication. It was legal. But one too many could have killed you. But God kept you. God blessed you. And you're here. You could have died in the wilderness. You could have died in the military. You could have lost your mind. But you're here in the presence of the Lord. It's not sacrifice. It's worship. Hallelujah. It's the gifts and anointings that God's laid on you so that we can worship. So He can, notice this, so He can bless you off your obedience, faithfulness, and reverence. So when God gives you that jobs, that client, you finish your education, you say, I made it. No, you didn't make it. God's positioned you and has helped you so that you can bring glory to Him wherever you may go and with whatever you may do. To say after all these things, God did it. God did it, and He's doing it for the glory and the honor. Therefore, I must worship the Lord while I have a chance. While there's still breath in my lungs, I will worship the Lord. See, there will always be naysayers. You think about it. Think about this. Abraham's son, Isaac, was smart enough to figure out, where's we got everything we need. That's what the scripture says. Dad, we got the wood. We got the fire. We're going to the place. But where's the sacrifice? He was smart enough to figure it out. Don't you think that those two other guys that Abraham brought with him, don't you think they would have been like, woohoo, this is crazy. This old man's losing it. There's no sheep around here. There's nothing. But that's why they couldn't go. Because God didn't ask them to go. God asked Abraham, I need you to do something. I need you to do this. A lot of times we're looking about everyone else. What they're doing. What they're not doing. Hey, God's not asking you to look at everyone else. God is looking and say, look at me. Look what I will do. I'm going to bless you based off what you do for me. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. After all you've been through, we got to be obedient and faithful and reverence to God. Notice this. Is this okay this morning? 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful. By whom ye were called unto the fellowship. You got to be faithful. You see, we say we can trust God and we do. But notice what the psalmist says in Psalm 119 and 89 and 90. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto those that were from Del Porto Lane only. No. Thy faithfulness is all only to those that are 50 years old. Thy faithfulness is to those that have been in the church their whole life and have never sinned and never done anything. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth and it abided. Remember that, saints of God. When you struggle, you're tested, you're trying, you're frustrated, you're having a bad day, a bad week, a bad year so far. Remember, He's faithful. And if He's faithful, you can be faithful. You got to trust Him. You got to obey Him. You got to respect Him. You got to build altars. You got to pray. But above that as well, you got to worship the King of Glory. Can God say the same thing about you? That you're faithful? When we say, Lord, I can handle this. I can handle the finances. I can handle the leadership. I can handle the ministries. I can handle the blessings. And God says, well, I need to make sure. I need to verify. One of my favorite quotes in all the world, every office I've ever had, I've had it in there. Trust, but verify. Ronald Reagan said it. Trust, but verify. That's what the Lord does sometimes. Hey, we can trust God, but can God trust us? Sometimes you say, I think it's time for a test. Time for a pop quiz, baby. The car's gonna break down in between pay periods, and let's see how it's gonna work out. Because you've been talking all this stuff. Let me verify. Let me verify. See what you're going to do. You're saying, after all this, oh God, after all, he's saying, hey, let me see what you're going to do. Let me see you all talk. Let me see what you're going to do. Because I got a blessing with your name on it. If you just trust me, if you obey me, if you're faithful, I got so many cows that I could give away to pay everything forever. But you got to be faithful. You got to trust me. You got to worship me. Come on, somebody. Give them some worship this morning. Hallelujah. If you never walk through the valley to get to the mountaintop, you won't appreciate the blessing when you get there, baby. You gotta appreciate it. You don't appreciate food when you're full, but when you're hungry, even a drink of water will soothe and satisfy you. Somebody say, Gloria a Dios. We want to handle the blessings. God's got to make sure we're equipped to handle the blessing. Put us through some tests and trials so we don't quit and complain and murmur. But we follow through with building an altar and we call it worship. You ever hear someone make the statement, after all this, it's got to get better. See, it didn't get better for Abraham until he got on top of the mountain. See, let me prove something to you. He gets to the mountain. It's a beautiful story here. He gets to the mountain. He gets on the mountain. He gets his son. Remember, his only son. The one that he loves. He puts him on the altar. Scripture says he makes an altar. We read that. He builds an altar. He binds his son. He puts him on the altar. He's got the knife in his hand. You're committed at that point. Like it or not, you're committed, right? It's like a police officer pulls out his weapon. He's kind of committed in some ways, right? Military, they send the Navy over there and said, okay, now there's some commitment. We're vested at this point. You wrote the check, you put it in the mail. You're kind of vested. He's sitting there. He's got the knife in his hand. 22:9-10. Genesis 22:9-10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the Lord, the angel of the Lord called unto him and said, Abraham, Abraham! See, pastor, I just be real, somebody say real talk. Pastor at this point, get to the mountain. Lord, I did everything you asked me to do.
There's no sacrifice up here. Shouldn't have bought those day-old donuts.
Something wrong. Big time. I went 3 days through this trial and testing, and Sarah's going to kill me when I get back, even if I do live through it. But Abraham was committed, knife in his hand. And the Lord says, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld my son, thy son, thy only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes. And there in the thicket, by the horns, was a ram. You see, a lot of times the battle is in the mind. Do your battle, there's somebody said this the other day, and I agree wholeheartedly with it. There's the Holy Spirit, there's the evil spirit, and there's the human spirit. And we're led by one. Some of us are led by two. Some of us are being led by the wrong one. We need to be led. The scripture says the Holy Ghost will lead and guide you to all truth. The scripture says to be refilled by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Well, see, this scripture setting was, never was any gold tried so in such a hot of a fire. I mean, this was some serious stuff. But there's the ram in the thicket there. And he's caught by his horns and Abraham sees it. The ram, and he gets the ram, and he offers it for a burnt offering or sacrifice instead of his son. You remember when Abraham was talking to Isaac, and Isaac says, hey, we got everything we need, but we don't have a ram. We don't have a lamb for the sacrifice. And Abraham made that statement, God will provide. And we get to the scripture setting in Genesis, and Abraham gets the ram, And he offers it unto a sacrifice unto the Lord. And he calls the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. What that means is the Lord will provide. He didn't provide on the second day. He didn't provide on the first day. He didn't even provide when they got to the mountaintop. In fact, he didn't even provide when Abraham was building the altar. He provided when he knew he can trust and verify that Abraham was obedient, reverence, and faithful to God. Saints of God, some of us got the reverence part. Some of us got the trust part. Some of us got the faithfulness part. But we got to have all three. We got to call it worship. We got to be faithful. We got to be obedient. We got to be trustworthy. After all the things you've gone through, God is saying, hey, I need you to have the full thing. I need to position you so you can be poised to appreciate the blessing and call it God provided. Not my company, not my boss, not the church, not my talent, but God provided. What we have, God provides. And if God provides it, he sustains it. And if he sustains it, it will be blessed. Somebody give God a little worship. Somebody give God some praise this morning. Come on, give him some worship. Give him some real, raw, authentic worship. Come on, will you be faithful in your worship? Will you be faithful in your praise? Will you be faithful in your ministries? Will you be faithful in your offering? Will you be faithful in your tithing? But more than that, will you be faithful with God asking you to do something? Will you be obedient? Will you be reverent unto the Lord? Faithful. You've been praying and asking God to save you, to use you, to bless you, to help you, to forgive you, to protect you. Maybe you got the prayer of Jabez, Lord, enlarge my territory. Let me tell you something. In the anointing of the Holy Ghost, God's about to try you and test you. But don't quit until you get to the mountain. And if you get to the mountain, you don't see that the provision's there. He's got to trust us. God's got you on a journey. You feel isolated right now. You feel misunderstood. You feel embarrassed. You may feel like life is out of control. Can't get a grip on everything. You think that you feel like everything's just broken. Think that things are just falling out. Maybe they're falling into place and you don't see it. So you look at a puzzle and you try to build a puzzle. Every piece has its spot. God's position, putting places, people, ministries, blessings, positions, and hey, if you could just continue on. When you're running a race, they have these markers at certain spots. You get energy bars here. I've never ran a race. You get these energy bars here. And you got water here. And you got these resting stations here. And rest stops here. But when you get to the finish line, it's just something about finishing and crossing over. After all of this, first it was the breakup. First it was the divorce, the bankruptcy. The change in your home. The kids have been giving you fits. The drama at work. The drama in the church. You've been hurt in the church. God's been dealing with you about consecration. God's saying, hey, I need to be able to trust you. It's going to take a journey. 3 weeks, 3 years, 3 months. But when you get on the mountaintop, he's still got to be able to trust you when you're on the mountaintop. Yeah. See, Abraham made it to the mountaintop. Woohoo! We made it. The testing was still on the mountaintop. Think about that. Yeah. After all this, coming to a close, God will provide. But he built an altar. An altar is a place of slaughter or sacrifice. It's a place where the flesh is laid out as a sacrifice to God, where he can alter us. Laying ourselves down on the altar and presenting ourselves to God so the fire can burn us, in us, and out of us. Burning fire burns things. It purifies. The scripture says that the fire of the altar should not burn out. God was a consuming fire. He showed himself as a fire for the children of Israel in the wilderness. He answered by fire with Solomon in 2 Chronicles. When Solomon had the fire, the offerings on the altar, he consumed up the offering after they prayed. It was with cloven tongues and fire that the Holy Ghost fell. The scripture says God is a consuming fire. But notice this. Notice this. There was something that had to be placed on the altar. It was a sacrifice that we call it. Abraham called it worship. Notice Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and that he had received the promise, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. That's the revelation. Abraham trusted and had faith and obedience and reverence enough, Brother Ramon, that even if Isaac was sacrificed as worship and died, he knew that God is able to raise him up. Even if it's dead, baby, my God breathes life into it. Genesis tells us, in Genesis 2, it says, and God formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed into him life. Don't tell me my God can't do anything. He can do anything for anybody this morning. But it's how we see it. Do we call it a sacrifice or do we call it worship? So we stand. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind. That means when you think it's a sacrifice, you need to renew your mind from this sermon. Say it's worship. After all this, it's not a sacrifice, but it's worship. It's Jehovah Jireh. There's a sweet presence of the Lord in here this morning. Come on, altars are open. What will you put on the offering? And is it a sacrifice or a worship? In fact, somebody preached some time ago that fire doesn't fall on empty altars. You got to put something on the altar in order for it to be consumed. Because you are my glory. Come on, RT.
Because of who you are, I give you praise.
He's Jehovah Jireh. He provides.
Because of who you are, I lift my voice and sing.
Sing it this morning. Would you pray? Would you worship? Come on, let's not be distracted by the classes. There's a sovereign move of God in here right now. Jesus. Jesus.
I worship.
I worship.
Because of who
it's not
you
sacrifice
are.
He calls it worship.
Jehovah.